This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
Look at the buttercream on that cake.
And the bulldog.
Yeah, when the kids were little, we just like to go in the lake. Natural selection. You come back great.
On WGR.
Look at that fondant.
Sports Radio 550.
I shouldn't really call this a record, but it's kind of interesting, and it is, especially maybe after talking to Micah Hyde an hour ago. The Ravens just tweeted that on the Hayden Hurst touchdown, he reached the fastest speed of any Ravens offensive player so far this season.
Wow.
20.5 miles per hour. And when Hyde was talking to us last hour about the plays, like, we had seen on film that 81 was fast. He had thought that. He thought he might have had a shot at him as the play was unfolding. As you and I were watching it, I said, as he got to about the 30-yard line, they're not going to catch this guy. Like, it just,
yeah,
you know, it's a mistake to think the big tight end is not going to get there. But he was flying.
He was motoring, yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, you get a game like this, that's, you know, they hit a play, you don't. And, you know, it's a 7-point game. It's, you know, I don't mean to just completely – the gentleman called us right before the top of the hour there about, you know, Daboll having all this extra time. You know, all this extra time, whatever. They played Thursday, so they had extra days to prepare. And that, you know, they didn't really do anything with that. And my response was, well, you gotta hit your plays when they're there, you know. Like, they – if Lamar Jackson doesn't hit Hurst on that play, and they don't get that score. Like, did Baltimore prepare a bad game plan too? Like, you got to hit them when they're there. That's not to say that there aren't other things that you can do. And I think the Bills tried to. I mean, the thing they had that maybe most consistently during the day that they had that was available to them was Singletary out wide. Like, way out wide, not in the slot, but way out wide. Like, for me, I noticed it mostly when they were going towards the scoreboard end, and he was out left. And he dropped one out there. He caught one and made a move and got some yards. The one he dropped, I mean, there could have been a lot more there if he makes that guy miss, which I don't want to assume the guy makes the same play on Singletary if he catches the ball clean. Like, maybe the defender knows that he didn't catch it clean and isn't bearing down. I don't know. But he did get by that guy pretty easily and had a lot of room to run. Those are plays that I think can work and offset a team that's sending seven guys at you, because I've got the ball out wide and you've got everybody's bunched in here in the middle of the field. But you got to execute. You got to catch those passes when they're there. Not to say nothing of just hitting him down the field. You know, he did run a couple of times out there to make them, I think, respect the short one or make the short one more dangerous. He ran a couple of fly patterns there. So, you know, what do you do to offset a blitz? Screen passes, you know, keep extra guys in. I mean, you can do that. Max protect and only have a guy or two out in the pattern. I'm not sure I want to get there. I want to hit some throws. But, you know, the quarterback wasn't able to do that often enough yesterday.
It served to limit Allen's effectiveness running, too. He was,
yep.
He only had 2 for 9 in this game. It's been a real weapon for the Bills, and I guess I would say that that's probably tied to the rest of the benefits. It's risk-reward, and part of the reason you would like to think you're going to do it and succeed is that Allen won't be able to run on you, but if he just gets through it, then he could go. You know, that's the thing about it. You're taking that chance. All right, to the phones. 803-0550, the number. We have TJ next. Hi, TJ.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling.
Well, I watched the game right through and through, and I think the defense was a lot more prepared than the offense. the defense game plan for the offense of Baltimore were perfection almost. They held the quarterback to a minimum, but the offense was not prepared at all. And I noticed the coach did not change anything around. He did the same old, same old, same old. He has to go with the flow, and if things not working, make changes during the game to get some points. And I don't like that, so I hope next time we learn from that, okay? Thank you.
Thank you. You kind of just were talking about that, mostly.
Pretty much.
You want to say it all again?
Not especially right now, maybe in 20 minutes or so.
You give it 20. Give it 20, then circle back.
A whole other segment.
Maybe tomorrow, we'll see.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, TJ.
I'll repeat. I'm not dismissing doing something different schematically, but I don't want to give the whole speech about the coordinator's always to blame when the quarterback doesn't make throws, but I do think you're choosing to ignore plays that were there that the coordinator drew up to beat the blitz that would have worked if your quarterback hit the throws. And he had time to make some of those throws and just missed them. And that's been a consistent problem all year now. So you might want to tell me that Daboll should stop calling those plays because, you know, the quarterback can't hit them. You know, I'm going to die. I want Daboll to die calling those plays for the quarterback to hit them because they are, to me, the biggest shortcoming in the offense, and they are the key to unlock the rest of Josh Allen's treasure chest. I need those plays. And I don't know how blitz-heavy Pittsburgh is. I know what their reputation is and Blitzburg and all this, and I know their defense is very highly rated, and they take the ball away like crazy. I think teams are going to keep, if they think they've got the personnel to match up with you, they are going to keep bringing heat on Allen until he makes somebody pay. And like that, to me, yes, the coach has to help him do that, but the guy's open. He can't place the ball in John Brown's hands for you. Like, you've got to make the throws.
It's getting late this year to see that work once in a game.
Yeah.
Like a long pass that's actually caught. We are to mid-December.
Mm-hmm.
Here is John next. Hi, John.
Hey, I'm kind of dovetailing off what you guys are saying. It makes me nervous that Josh Allen is saying in the press conference, I have to take what the defense has given me. You were taking what they were giving you, but you weren't within 5 yards of the throw. And then I also worry about the head coach. Sometimes I just don't see the mental acuity there. The risk-reward, the cost-benefit analysis on that pass interference, and then, I'm sorry, going for two instead of one. I mean, maybe he's asking the question, what's my win probability if we make two versus if we make one? But the question is, what's the win probability if it's a 7-point game, an 8-point game, or a 9-point game where it falls off the table?
No, it still comes out to do it. I mean, everybody who knows those numbers well approves of going for two. McDermott, in fact, today said it was an analytics-based decision. So they know those numbers. I trust the Bills now in this kind of an area. And not the math way of explaining it, which I wouldn't or even necessarily, I'm not even sure I could do it on the fly. The words way of explaining it is you're going to have to go for two eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And with all these things, the earlier that you find out what you're going to need later in terms of points, the better.
Right, because if you got to go for two at the end and you miss, the game's over. If you go for two there and you miss, now you know, all right, I'm getting the ball back with 5 minutes. I got to go. I got to go fast because I got to score and I got to score again. So whereas here they made it a 7-point game. Okay, we got 5 minutes. All right, fine. We got to get down there and get in the end zone. And, you know, then we got a decision to make after that about kicking or going for two. And I would bet heavily that they would have kicked and tied the game.
Who knows?
But, you know, yeah, you don't know. But yes, I think getting certainty as to how many points you need is, to me, important. You can push it off to the end, but at the end, you have no recourse now. If you're playing for a touchdown and two to tie, if you don't get the two, the game is over. Whereas if you do it then and get it, well, then now it's a 7-point game. If you don't and you wait until the end, you know, you're just leaving yourself a little less opportunity to still get back in. And it's not likely you're going to score twice anyway, but still, you'd rather know you have to.
They almost did.
Yep.
So they almost did. Yeah, thanks, John. I'm fairly confident that the Bills did right there. Let's go to Jim next. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good evening, guys. I just got three things for you guys. I want to hear your expert opinion on this. So I'm kind of flipped the coin on the PI. I get both sides of it. But there's two things that I wanted to ask you guys. So the second, third, and fourth possession that we had in the second half, the second possession, we only had it for a minute and 57 seconds. The third possession, a minute and 4 seconds. And that's the one I really am questioned about. We had a 5-yard run on the first play, and then pass incomplete. And I feel like it was just rushing through it. And on the third possession, we had like 1 yard to go. If you guys remember that, it was third and one,
uh-huh.
Ran off tackle to Singletary and didn't get it. It was a hurry up.
Yep.
Ran it, didn't get it. And I was just really confused. I felt like that was the time to take the time, get the first down, move the ball, because we kept punting from our zone and giving them field position. They kept giving them field position, and our defense was playing phenomenal. And, I mean, you can only hold Lamar for so long. You know, that offense is really good. And then the second thing I want
to... Before you go any further, are we talking about play calls then, or are we talking about something else?
Play calls in general, but I don't think it's stable, because as I was watching Allen, he was changing the play a bunch of times with the line when he would see the defense. You know, and I feel like that sometimes has to do with the offensive line protection, too.
Maybe. Or he was maybe just trying to look like he was doing that.
I think you're more talking about pace, though, here, right? You're highlighting that they only had the ball for about a minute each time, minute 40, whatever. They didn't take any time off the clock. And so you're questioning maybe the hurry-up idea?
No, not questioning the hurry-up, but just, like, you know, especially the one where it was third and one.
Yeah.
Like we hurried that up so fast. It was like we could have got that first down and then had another three plays to, you know, to go down the field. And I just feel like it was just rushed. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing about that third and one, I'm glad you brought this up. I mentioned this in the piece I wrote about the game, but I haven't mentioned it on the air yet. The thing that was curious about the third and one to me more than anything else was, you're right, they did stay in hurry up, so much so that was a play where I just talked a few minutes ago about Devin Singletary running fly patterns when he was split way out wide.
Exactly.
That was the second down play, second and 10. He ran like 50 yards down the field. They got a 9-yard completion to John Brown out on the right, so they got third and one. And to me, sitting where we sit in the press box, I'm watching Singletary, and to me, he looks like he's looking at the bench, like,
yeah,
get somebody else in there. I'm way down here, and a coach,
there's
like
an assistant,
yeah, like gestures
him
for him to get to the huddle or get to the. So he sprints after sprinting down there on the fly pattern, sprints all the way back, lines up behind Allen, and like 5 seconds later, the ball's in his hand again. And I'm like, all right, like maybe handing the ball to the guy that just ran 100 yards is not the best idea in the world. I mean, I don't know. The play got blown up in the backfield, so I don't know that Singletary makes anything out of that if he's completely rested or not. But I just thought that was a little weird. Like, that would have been a spot for Gore. I like that they're favoring Singletary. He's the more dangerous runner. But you just had him run 100 yards for all intents and purposes and then gave him the ball on third and one. I didn't think that was great planning.
Yeah, and agreed. And I agree 100%. And the second thing I want to talk about is, so the end of the game when we were half in goal, half yard line in goal, and I'm like, okay, QB sneak, here we go, real quick, score, get the ball, and then you're running, you run the off tackle,
Gore,
military Gore, I don't remember,
Gore,
and mm-hmm. you get stuck. Now you're first in goal from what, the 3, the 4. And you just took off, what, a minute and a half off the clock? That could have been, you know, more time for us in the end of the game. I just feel like those two plays really stood out in that game yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine. I mean, I don't want to argue against that. They did score a touchdown on the second series. That's the best you can do. They cost themselves the minute and a half or whatever you said. You're right. I guess what I'm thinking is, this is really fun. I'm so happy. Sorry if I'm settling. I'm so happy not to pretend to care about the game. I can actually really care about it because the Bills are not 5-8 playing a team that's supposedly these little things that happen in the game are supposed to tell us something meaningful, and I think they rarely do. And here we're talking about details, and that's cool because this was a good game, a close game against perhaps the best team in the NFL, and we're all here like lining up to bring up details. And that's the way it was 20 years ago. It was like, you better know the details if you're going to talk about this stuff, because that's what everybody's going to want to bring up. And that's what today feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate to enhance that point at all, but there's a chance the Bills could have been using naked receivers running fly patterns in other years, and I would not have noticed sitting in the press box how they were used on the next play. But, you know, you've got my attention. You know, you're 9-3. This is a big game, and I'm watching everything. I'll get some popcorn later. I'm hanging here. I mean, I'm sorry I did miss the play at the end of the half when I thought the Ravens were just going to kneel it out. But, you know, mostly I'm tuned in, man. You know, like you've got me, which is nice. I mean, it feels, you know, it feels good.
Yeah, I watched that play. So as long as one of us saw.
Yeah, right, sure. Yeah.
When I wasn't buried in my monitor
right,
seeing what was going on in the other games. It's the fantasy playoffs. It's the pancake breakfast. Mike Evans, 61-yard touchdown catch. Oh, he's out for the day. Jared Cook, good start. Oh, he's hurt. Oh, DJ Chark is hurt. Oh, hurt.
You want a backhanded compliment? You were remarkably bearable yesterday.
Thank you.
I would say it was not.
Did you get that from my vows? remarkably bearable. That's exactly what my wife said. We wrote our own vows. It's a long time ago, but I remember that phrase like it was yesterday. Remarkably bearable.
I appreciate how remarkably bearable you are. Yes. How romantic.
You would have loved me last night. So in guillotine, we're down to four, and I have to fade Russell Wilson. And, like, you hate having to fade. I hate having to fade Russell Wilson. Good luck. The guy, no matter what the game is, it's just he just always kills it. And so this game last night, it's playing out. Like, I could win this thing tonight. I could survive tonight. And in the end, I did. And my family goes to bed on Sundays at, like, 9:30, halftime.
Mm-hmm.
I am down there in my basement watching this game, and I could not sit down. I'm just walking around like I was so happy and so relieved and excited. Like I'm walking around pumping my fist, whispering to myself. You would have laughed.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. At the risk of being the only idiot who doesn't understand the lingo, fade means root against.
Yeah, like
basically,
he,
like
he needs X number of points, right, and you have to hope he doesn't get to that number.
Right. Okay.
So
You're hoping.
It's not exactly fade. Is not even the right word. Fade is I'm not putting him in my lineup. Like in a DFS lineup, you'd use, I'm going to fade. Everybody else is going to pick,
I see,
you know, Alshon Jeffrey tonight. I'll fade Alshon Jeffrey. So it's not the perfect use of the term, but what?
Now I'm even more confused because you're not getting your own lingo right.
That's right.
It's a tough spot.
I have to survive.
I'm over here making an effort. I asked a question.
Yeah. Right. I have to survive Russell Wilson.
Right. Gotcha. And you did.
And I did. That's right.
Oh, boy. And there was much rejoicing.
Rashad Penny, how about this in your fantasy playoffs? You had that guy, and he tore his ACL on his first play. They didn't know until like an hour ago that's the injury, but that's the injury for Rashad Penny. That's tough. And it's tough for some of you. Maybe not as tough,
yeah.
Or maybe tougher. I don't know.
Here's a little quick nugget here, because it's – oh, sorry. I just refreshed my page, and now I lost it. Jeremy White just responded, quote tweeted, something pertaining to the investigation about the Patriots and this film crew that was in Cleveland and is found to have been maybe filming the Bengals. They it was uncovered during the Spygate investigation that part of the cover that – their people were instructed to give if they were ever questioned about what they're doing with those cameras when they were, this is way back in the mid-2000s, was to say we're filming a team documentary.
Yeah.
It's like the planted cover story was that, which is exactly what they're saying today after having been caught filming Bengals assistants, passing signals, like, you know, whatever. It's Spygate all over again.
Great.
Yeah. just in time for the holidays. I just wanted to mention that before, you know, it went past and we just kept talking about the Bills, which is fine. I just think it's noteworthy.
Well, the Bills play them next week.
Yep.
803-0550. Back to your calls after the update. A quick word for my friends at Rachel's. If you haven't yet tried Rachel's, you definitely should. You're missing out, I would say. Fast food, but different. Delicious, smart, healthy ingredients. Grilled chicken, steak. Love the way that the grilled steak is seasoned with the Greek dressing and romaine lettuce, feta cheese. That's my number one. Fresh cut vegetables, of course. They're all doing all the work right in front of you as you walk in. And all the toppings you want, rice bowl or pita or however you like it. Rachel's is really, really good. There's now a seventh location open. They are flying, Rachel's, a seventh location opening Walden near Harlem in Cheektowaga. So if you're out that way and before maybe you went to the location near the Galleria or farther away, even in the city, Elmwood and Chippewa, Walden near Harlem. And they're going to be in Rochester soon as well. Plus, you can order through their exclusive partner, DoorDash. Rachel's catering as well for an office holiday party, perhaps. They catered for us on Thanksgiving. So we, even though we were working, we had food from Rachel's on Thanksgiving. Go to rachelsgrill.com and order online that way. Rachel's Mediterranean Grill, an official partner of the Bills and Sabres.
Personnel stuff we've used went with Devin for the most part. The times that Frank has been in, you know, there's a fairly loaded box in some of those situations. I've got a lot of confidence in Frank, and we'll just see how it goes as December goes. But he can run all the plays that we need him to run. We've went with Devin here these last couple weeks with the style of play that we've been using.
He doesn't say this specifically, but where the path takes you is when Gore is on the field, that's a key, and the Ravens or the teams the Bills play think this is going to be a run between the tackles. I guess it could be a pass, but I don't know. Is this overstating it? Teams don't fear the Bills throwing down the field? I mean, it's not going that well. Anyway, so a little bit of insight there. That's pretty good. Singletary, more versatile. Mm-hmm. Teams play a little bit more conservatively when he's out there as opposed to Gore.
It's come up a time or two already. The lone quote I see here, courtesy of our Sal Capaccio, regarding the pass interference, the non-pass interference call at the end of the third quarter. The quote here from McDermott says he was talking with the booth about it, that they felt there just wasn't enough to warrant it. A pretty straightforward, simple explanation.
That you don't even really need. That's what they're going to tell you. I will assume that it's true. It doesn't have to be, because that's still what you would say.
Yeah.
What you wouldn't say is, we never even thought about it.
Right.
Or anything too definitive. You would say that.
Or I was too worried about losing the timeout. I mean, it's implied. It's obvious.
It's implied.
Like, you wouldn't want to, you know, challenge it frivolously and know that you're just, you know, burning a timeout needlessly. But I still think it was worth it. I think there was contact. I admit it wasn't, you know, the most blatant thing you've ever seen, but obviously it was. The defender did hit Foster before the ball got there.
There's whether it will be overturned and the timeout part. And there's also that you could end up having a second play that you want to challenge and going 0-for-2 and ending up where the Patriots were
right
last night, which was not being able to challenge that N'Keal Harry catch an apparent touchdown. So there's reasons not to do it.
Right. And they had used one earlier on a spot, I think. Is that what, that what happened there?
Like, and the camera was not exactly on the yard line. It was a Watkins play. But it looked short. And they also apparently had challenged on this play pass interference, I think, too. They challenged two things on the one play. And Romo was thinking that, well, they're going to get the spot anyway. And he didn't. They didn't even get that. By the way, it was Boger. I asked Bulldog at 12:55, which ref do you want today? He goes, Boger. Doesn't even look up. Boger. We didn't get them, but the Patriots did.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you see Watkins and Gilmore get into it on
yes.
the sideline?
Yes.
What did Nance say? They know each other from college, he says. And I'm waiting for, like, and they were also teammates on the Buffalo Bills who play in the NFL. No. But did they even play in college, Clemson and South Carolina? I mean, I know their proximity is
probably
close, but
maybe.
They were teammates.
That's a big rivalry, I think. But still, they were teammates.
They were teammates. Come on. Can you just
wouldn't you remember them from that?
It felt
playing here?
It felt to me like a moment where if it were, if Watkins and Gilmore had been teammates on any other team in the NFL, Nance would have said it. I'm being very insecure right now, but it really pissed me off for just a moment. I was like, come on!
And it's not like they just had a cup of coffee here or like were minor players. Like they were first-round picks,
right.
like star players on the team.
Exactly.
It was odd. I will say this in Nance's defense. I can't believe I just said that. Romo did start just talking. Like, he just barreled in there and just started talking, and there was not another moment, really, where Nance could have gotten that in if he wanted to. Like, Romo just sort of talked right up to the next play running, and it was over. But anyway, come on. Clemson and South. I mean, of course, thank you for telling us where they went to college. They were both high first-round picks with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, they were on the team for 3 years together.
Go get your laminated toast out.
That has to sound really weird to somebody who doesn't understand the toast reference.
Horrible.
Nance having a picture of toast in his pocket that he shows waiters and waitresses to show how he wants his toast. Or at least this used to be the story.
I need to take a play off here. I don't like the way that sounded. Not that it was offensive. It was just lame. Go get your laminated toast. What kind of burn is that? I'm a chump.
David is with us now. Hi, David. David.
How are you?
Hey, good.
Yes. Just wondering why we're not going to more of those types where we have the, like Grunk used to do, line him up, put him out wide. Dawson Knox has a lot of talent, and he's a very good receiver with the ball. He can go up and catch it at the highest point. And we still don't see Tyler Croft in the third downs and these thirds and shorts. We need to use the tight ends more. That would help us out a little bit, Josh not having to have to run for his life so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't mind this point. I mean, you can only do so many things, but I don't mind what you're saying here. Knox played 73% of the snaps anyway, so he's the tight end on the team.
Yep.
Croft is 28. Lee Smith, 4%, snaps.
Poor Lee Smith.
Couldn't he have, don't you think he looked open on those plays? Did he look open to you? Three more games.
If I had Gronk, I would do it all the time. I mean, I don't know.
Do the Bills have Gronk?
Knox. We got into him a little bit last night. I think he's been a nice player. He's had some moments that fans are, you know, you pound someone into submission running with the ball like he did in that, was at the Bengal game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like you're already a folk hero. And I think he's got a lot of potential. He drops the ball. So I mean, I don't know that if I'm really helping myself by targeting him more. Like, I don't know that I can trust him. He had another big drop yesterday, and it's not uncommon. That's a problem. Tyler Croft, I mean, I don't know. It's possible one of two things, maybe. He was never really that good to begin with. He's slowed by the number of injuries he's had, even just this year, that I don't know that he's really that dangerous a player. Like, he barely exists on this team, and I wouldn't be surprised. They're dressing him. They paid him. They obviously feel like he can contribute. They're not dressing another tight end who they drafted last April, Tommy Sweeney, who showed pretty sure hands in a very small sample size. I wouldn't be surprised if Croft is not even on the team moving forward. I mean, I think Joe said this yesterday, and I was nodding as he said it, because I think Sweeney's got some potential, and certainly Knox. I mean, if Lee Smith is your blocking tight end, like, what do you need Tyler Croft for? I don't know. It has not really worked. They get a lot of credit, and rightly so, for the free agent pool that they created this year, but Croft has not really mattered at all.
They were in three wide receiver formations all day. I mean, Brown and Beasley played almost literally the whole game on offense. They missed two snaps each. McKenzie was on for three quarters of the plays. Foster was on for plenty of plays. Like, they were in spread formations all day. That was the plan. And what it amounted to against a good team and a good defense was 17 completions for 146 yards. Kind of like,
yep.
How did it go?
Right.
I mean, you want to spread it out, good. You'd also like to think you're going to get some of those good Allen runs out of those formations, and you didn't get any.
Right.
This game was tough.
Yep. I mean, I've said it this way a couple of times. Like, I'm not against them doing something to counteract what's happening with the blitz, because what you were doing was not working. But if I have to adjust because my quarterback can't hit open guys in one-on-one coverage, I don't really know what to do. You know, like, sure, I could do something else, but it is working. Like, schematically, it's work. The guy is getting open. The quarterback has to deliver the ball. And, yes, there's pressure, and he was sacked a lot. And so, you know, should you have done something else? Maybe. I still think the story of this game on offense is more the missed throws in the first quarter of the game than it is Daboll not doing something and getting Lee Smith on the field more. I mean, I don't think that's my ticket, really. But I don't know. I mean, you could be right if you think that.
Lee Smith is going to go to week 17 needing one more catch for me to push my bet, two for me to win it.
Three snaps a game.
And they are going to rest people. And Smith is going to play a lot in that game.
Or they're going to rest Lee Smith.
No, you don't need to rest Lee Smith.
He's a veteran. A veteran rest day.
He can rest in the playoffs when they're playing in the playoffs. No, he plays against the Jets, and I cash it. That's what's going to happen. I mean, a blowout would help me too, maybe. But the Bills don't play enough of those.
I want you to get that catch on Lee Smith, like, running down the hash mark. Kind of the way when Metzlars caught the long pass against San Francisco in 92. You're like, oh my God, it's Metzlars. What is Metzlars doing way down there? That's kind of sort of how I reacted when that play happened. I know this is like a generation ago, and a lot of our audience wasn't even alive yet. But like that, give me that with Lee Smith. He'd been like 40 yards down the seam. Like, my brain just is oozing out my ears because Lee Smith just beat his safety up the field.
I want a catch that's like very like sideways, and then on Wednesday the NFL changes it to a rushing attempt because they decide that the pass was backwards. That's what I want.
I was waiting just to say I want it reviewed, but Joe's is better. The bet is 5, and we are at 4, and there are 3 games left. High drama here at the Super Bowl. 803-0550, our number. More of your phone calls coming up. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR. If you're thinking about Christmas shopping for a moment here, I've got an idea for you. Omaha Steaks and the favorite gift package, a gift everyone will love, only $69.99. I mention my family for this a lot. We've had a few different Omaha Steaks packages over the years. This, of course, also, I mean, the idea is that it is a gift. So think of, you know, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your adult children who have a family and would love to have this themselves. The favorite gift package from omahasteaks.com. Type WGR in the search bar to get this, the favorite gift package, for only $69.99. You'll receive 4 6-ounce bacon-wrapped filet mignons, 4 premium pork chops, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steaks signature seasoning packet, and for our listeners with this offer, a six-piece cutlery set and cutting board, all for only $69.99. You can only get steaks of this quality from Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher. OmahaSteaks.com, WGR in the search bar for the favorite gift package. Don't wait. The offer ends soon.
I mean, we didn't quit or anything like that. So I felt we just kept playing our game, and we didn't panic. Took it one goal at a time. Like I said, I think it's great that we came back, and I think that we could have even gotten that last goal too.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, welcome back. 3-7 weekdays. Tomorrow will be at 7-1-6. Tomorrow will be 3-7:30 as the Sabres host the Blues at 7:30. Be there on Thursday as well. Nashville is here. Sabres hanging around.
Yeah. They're third still in the division. Just a point back a second. They played a couple of more games than Florida, who's in second, I think. As it stands, yeah, that's exactly it. They're in third, 2 points ahead of Montreal and Toronto. Yeah.
Tampa's also played like four fewer games than them, maybe, too. They're sitting there.
That's exactly right. And they got 31 points.
I heard that their schedule is actually shorter. Is that wrong? Tampa only plays 70 games this year, I heard.
It was a penalty for being so good last year.
Yeah, just to even things out.
Right.
We have Monday Night Football tonight.
Yep.
After the nightcap, it's the Giants at the Eagles. Glenn Macnow, who's been on our show numerous times, he's a Buffalo area native, works in the Philadelphia media and radio, just tweeted a picture of the link. Ugly, windy, rainy, wet tarp on the field. They have predicted this for this game. Maybe it isn't so heavily raining during the game, but it's like it's been a day like that in Philadelphia. So plan accordingly with your lineups. I need just a tiny bit from Barkley. Want to avoid a huge night from Alshon Jeffrey. If I can get away with Golden Tate being a no-show, that would be wonderful, but I'm not counting on that.
I'd like to see Barkley get tuned up for next week for me. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him get 20 points.
That'd be a nice night for him.
Get going. He's been like single digits here since he came back from the injury. So like, well, let's go, buddy.
I need three. So if you notice that he doesn't get 3 points,
okay,
you'll know that I'll be riled up
okay
by the end of tonight. That would be an all-timer. Pat is with us next. Hello, Pat.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Called in a while, but I just was thinking about, and I think Bulldog might have just touched on this a while ago, but I really think kryptonite, the blitz, is Josh Allen's kryptonite. It reminded me yesterday a lot of the plays compared to the Green Bay game of last year. I don't know if they could teach him up on how to know if a blitz is coming or what to do when that blitz is happening, like quicker throws, short throws, screen passes, anything along those lines. And secondly, rather than going to Josh Brown on that last play, and I think I heard this earlier, that we don't have a lot of faith in Dawson Knox or Tyler Croft. But a bigger target in that situation I thought might have been just as good as the attempt he made at trying to fit that ball into John Brown on that play. Knox has shown an ability to make a big grab. I mean, I know he dropped the ball yesterday, but he also caught one that was unbelievable, one-handed with a guy draped all over.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I would have given that guy a chance. I think it would have been more even unexpected by them. But those are just my thoughts. I don't know.
Yeah, it's reasonable, I think. Pat, I think it's reasonable. You know, Brown is your number one receiver. And what it had me thinking about is, while I think, why wouldn't I? I like John Brown. Like, why wouldn't you like him? But, you know, he's just not maybe a game changer. And a guy, you wouldn't need to force a tight end in that spot, or cross your fingers for a wide receiver of the caliber of Brown if you had the guy that, you know, everybody would go to in that spot. And, you know, there aren't – every team doesn't have that guy. But a lot of them do. They exist.
Yep.
And it was going into this year's draft, what about wide receiver? And then going into the trade deadline, it was, let's get a wide receiver. Benjamin went badly. But that was like, we were talking about that both times, and the Bills decided not to. So they're better at wide receiver than they've been. They basically, with their additions, rendered Foster almost meaningless. I know he plays a little bit, but there's just no stats there for Foster anymore. And so it's debatable how it's really worked out. Right there, you would want somebody that, you know, is so good, ideally, easy for me to say, but you know he's getting the ball and it's still going to work. And the pass is fine. The pass isn't really an issue there. It might even get through Marcus Peters to Brown, but it's definitely contested. And
yeah, the coverage is real, real tight. And I, you know, I know we, and I don't want to be completely just dig my heels in about it. I've seen some commentary like Beasley's open. Beasley leaks out to the left there. And the guy that's supposed to cover him doesn't really react to it that quickly. And, like, Beasley is available there. He's short of the first down stick where he runs the route, but the way it looks is he probably could have got there. But, you know, you're dealing with the blitz all day long. It's 4th and 8, and your best guy is locked up one-on-one with someone. Like, okay, like, I don't want to come down hard on Allen for not looking to Beasley instead of to me, that's a predetermined play. They're coming with 7 guys. My best guy is locked up. He not only will have the first down, it'll probably be a touchdown if we hit it. So I'm going to trust that he beats his man, and that's where I'm going. And I don't have time to survey, really. It's just back, lock, load, throw. Done. So, you know.
I don't want to nitpick either, and what I'm thinking would sound like it. I think it would definitely sound like it.
Yeah.
Where does Rodgers put that ball?
Probably a little bit further out. Oh, low. Okay.
I think Brown dives for it and it's out of the reach. He's behind Peters.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe he doesn't do that 10 out of 10 times.
And if it's low, Peters really might not even react to it. It's just that
out in front of him and low is where Peters can't get to it.
Right.
Given their spacing, like a soccer. Think of a soccer play.
Yeah.
The through ball.
Yeah.
The guy's.
Yeah. It was a decent enough throw. It could have been a better throw. Yes, I think that's right.
Yep. That's all.
All right. We got more of your calls coming up here. I'm here to talk to you some more about beer right now. I like doing that. I'm very happy to do that. Community Beer Works have been friends of mine for a long, long time. I went very early on in their existence to their original tap house. They have a beautiful facility that's pretty recent on the Lower West Side, and it's just fantastic on 7th Street. You should check it out. Lots of beer there, lots of variety. I'm here to talk to you mostly, though, about Let's Go Pils, which is a beer you can find everywhere you buy beer, right? Grocery stores, the beverage stores, Consumers, Premier, Wegmans, you name it, Lexington Co-op, and that's available in cans in stores in 4-packs. Of course, you can get it at the brewery too. And the reason we're focusing on that is because that beer was created in part because of a partnership between Community Beer Works and Andre Reed, Pro Football Hall of Famer. A portion of the proceeds from the sales of Let's Go Pils are donated to Andre's foundation, Reed with Reed 83, that's helping kids in our community learn to read through a partnership with the Boys and Girls Clubs of Western New York. So, look, that's the kind of thing that might have you looking around for Let's Go Pils, but like I already said, it is available everywhere that you buy beer, and lots of bars and restaurants too, so you won't have any trouble finding it. Dinosaur Barbecue, for example, the Draft Room, and I already mentioned some stores. So really, anytime you're looking to stock up on beer or you're just out for the night, no matter which Western New York community you call home, choose the Buffalo local beer that makes an impact where you live. That's Community Beer Works, a proud part of the Buffalo local family of beers.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.